And now for something completely different. So what I do is represent businesses, corporations, and their immigration law needs, and I help them stay compliant. So that's the perspective that I'm bringing to the presentation today. But I did want to start off with something that the Immigration Service has just clarified recently, which is an interesting tension between federal and state law. If you're interested in that topic, this is one area that has come to the forefront recently. So there's a new, it's not a new policy, but it's sort of a confirmation. And the thrust of the policy is that federal law, in this particular instance, is not going to accommodate what some state laws might permit. And the context is in naturalization. So when you apply to become a U.S. citizen, an applicant has to prove that they have something called good moral character for either the past 5 years or 3 years, depending on which path that you take to apply. And sometimes the government can even look at time outside of that period. And I won't go into all of the reasons why, but just know that good moral character can cover things like if you were supposed to be paying child support during that time, did you pay the child support? Or is somebody trying to track you down to do that? If you had taxes that were due, did you pay those? And then, of course, there are permanent bars that include things like crimes. Now, the interesting thing about good moral character is that it kind of flows with the time. So there's a Depression era case where somebody was found to not have good moral character because they were selling margarine that was colored yellow, and it wasn't really margarine. And apparently, in Depression era times, that was just hugely offensive and fraudulent, and if you did that, you were the worst of the worst. Now, I mean, who knows what's in a lot of this stuff, and nobody blinks an eye. So good moral character, as you might, if you think of it, kind of is an amorphous concept. And so with a majority of states having legalize some form of medical or even recreational use of marijuana, you can see how there are advocates for the Immigration Service to sort of give some flexibility on this good moral character in marijuana convictions or use. But the government has issued the statement saying that no, it's not. This is still considered, marijuana use is still considered a controlled substance offense under the federal laws, and so it's not going to back down from that kind of position on it. And one other thing that we do warn clients about is that you don't have to have just a conviction for this, but you can be talking to a visa officer, or you can be in your actual interview for the naturalization, and you can discuss what you're doing in such a way that you would basically admit the elements of a crime, and that's good enough to rule yourself out. We have encountered a lot of businesses that are in the marijuana industry, and they are full-formed businesses. They have every aspect of that industry covered, from, you know, growing the plants, the seeds, the transport, the financial aspects of it, and people who are in it are quite serious about that. It is a full-on business, and there are a lot of people, particularly from Canada, who have spent a lot of time, and in Canada, marijuana use is now legal. They've spent a lot of time developing their businesses, and they fully expect to come to the U.S. in friendly jurisdictions and bring their business model and set that up. So this is something that is coming to the forefront more and more. Interestingly enough, on the corporate side, if you try to see, and I see this a lot, if you try to send U.S. workers to Canada And you need to get them through so they can do a project, they can go to a meeting, whatever. And they have a DUI in their past. The Canadian inspectors will figure that out and will not let them in. And it takes over a year to get a special waiver for your employee to be allowed to go to Canada. So every now and then you'll send somebody off who doesn't realize this, and they'll come back and say, oh, well, you know, they won't let me into Canada. I'm not sure what to do. So we get those calls every now and then. And so I think that's kind of an interesting contrast, just something to be aware of.